I always appreciate our song leaders, especially our two Steves. They do such an amazing job. And Steve, again this morning, has led some of my favorite songs, but one that we just sang, How Great Thou Art. And when we go through those times in the valleys that we go through, and especially in the last little while of my life, I listen and I think God speaks to us in a number of ways. And the songs that someone else has written may seemingly be just lyrics, but someone wrote these words because they meant something to them and they wanted to share them with us. And I look at these and I listen to the words as we were singing them. How powerful our Lord, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, and I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and he died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. We're here for a little while in this world. There are all kinds of things that are going to affect us. There are things that are going to hurt us. There are things that are going to do immeasurably horrible, horrific things to us in this world. And when we lose sight of who our God is, when we forget who he is, hope is gone. May we never lose sight of the love that he has for us, the sacrifice that he's given us, the home that he's prepared to welcome us one day to be with him. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Scary because we don't understand. It's scary because we don't know what's really, truly waiting for us. We've heard stories. God has tried to open up our minds by telling us and giving us little glimpses of heaven and what it's going to be like there. And we embrace that and we love that and we want that until things really get tough and we're really wondering, what is it going to look like and when is it going to happen? And fear fills us. We need to learn God's power and his strength. He is good to us. Proverbs chapter 2. That was for free. Thank you, Steve, for the songs that you've led so far. I think it is one of the greatest privileges that we have as coming together as a body and singing praises to our God that he and he alone is worthy of. What a majestic thing it is to be in his presence. Not outside the temple and the temple courtyards or even in the holy place, but right in the very middle of the Holy of Holies where God is seated, with a seraphim flying around him calling out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that's where we are today, is gathered around his throne and to worshiping him. What a powerful thing it is to be a child of God and to know who he is and know that we have that right and that privilege. Even back thousands of years ago, with Solomon writing, in all of these proverbs, he knew who he was before. He may not have known everything about God, but he knew God was powerful. He knew he was majestic, and he knew that God, above all others, was worthy of his praise. And so he began and talking about God. And last, or 2 weeks ago, actually, we were talking about wisdom and some of the Proverbs. And I told you we were going to do some lessons out of it. And we even read in chapter 2, the first 5 verses, he said, "My son, if you will receive my words, if you will treasure my commandments within you, if you'll make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding, if you'll cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you'll seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. When you seek him, you'll find him. When you try with all that you are to understand who God is, God will reveal himself to you." And so Solomon's writing his book of wisdom. What do we need to do? How do we get there? And today I want to share this with you, is the pursuit of wisdom. What do we pursue in life? What things are valuable enough that we'll pursue it? And you start thinking about education, and our young people are trying to get that high school diploma, and some will go on to college, and some will go and learn a trade. Maybe it's nursing or something like that. And so we're focused and we're pursuing something. And why do we do that? We pursue things because they're valuable. We pursue things because we look at them and think they're going to be a blessing in our life. They're going to help us in some way. Those things are good for us. They're beneficial. Is wisdom worth pursuing? And that's what Solomon, I think, is writing in his life. As he looks at life and he contemplates all of the things, he starts talking about these things. And look with me in verse 6. First thing in this next just few verses we're going to look at this morning. Verse 6, he says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." The first thing I want us to understand out of this passage is that wisdom originates with the Lord. It doesn't come from this world. There is no wisdom in this world. It doesn't come. Everything, the foundation, the basis of wisdom is in God and Him alone. It is defined by God. It is defined by who He is. And if we don't know God, it's impossible to understand wisdom. It's impossible to have wisdom. Now, we may say we have wisdom of the world, but as Christians, we don't want that kind of wisdom. We want wisdom that is based upon and founded deeply in God Himself. You remember last week, we talked about, or I read in chapter 1, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, in 28, verses 28, 29, he says, "They will seek me, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord." They didn't want wisdom in their life. And if you don't want wisdom in your life, guess what? You're not going to get it. If you're not seeking it, if you're not pursuing it, you will never have it in your life. Anything that's worth having is worth pursuing. And pursuing means we have to be persistent and we have to keep on. Even when there are failures in our life, even when we fail at something, we've got to get ourselves back up and keep trying to do the best that we can. We keep seeking after God. We keep trying to understand who He is and let Him teach us. Let Him give us the wisdom that only comes in Him. Chapter 8 and verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." And if we're not diligently seeking, pursuing Him, how would we ever possibly plan on finding Him? Pursuit. It's a conscious choice and decision in our life. Wisdom, if we're going to pursue wisdom, we understand it has to come from Him. The latter part of that. "For the Lord gives wisdom," verse 6 again, "from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." In conversation with Job, in chapters 38 and 39, the beginning of chapter 40, Job and his friends have been arguing about things and what they know and don't know, and one is telling the other what you need to hear, and I'm going to let you know all these secrets and all these kinds of things. And God finally has had enough of it. He says, I'm tired of it, and we're going to put an end to it. And he says, the Lord said to Job, verse 1, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Hear what he's saying? Instruction, knowledge, understanding. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? Who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now the next two chapters he keeps on talking with this language, but I want you to hear these in chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Will you men that have gathered together to share your ignorance, will you contend with me? Let him who reproves God answer it. Do you have enough courage? Do you have enough ability? Do you have enough wisdom to argue with God? No. Wisdom comes from God. Knowledge and understanding come from God, not from mankind. Are we willing to listen? There's the question. That's what God has asked Job. And he asks us every day of our life, are you ready and are you willing to listen? Are you ready to open your ears? Why does he have to say that over and over again throughout his word? He who has ears, what? Let him hear. Are we willing to listen? Wisdom originates with the Lord. Verse 7 and 8. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Wisdom originates with God. Wisdom also protects those who possess it. Now, how many times is the word lion talked about in the Bible? Spread out all through it. And the analogy of the lion many times is in a negative way. And we find it in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he warns the Christians, Peter does, and he says, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I know I've said this before, many of you maybe have heard me talk about it. If you watch those documentaries, which may be nerdy, I don't know, but I love watching them because it shows all this wildlife, and you see the lion, especially the male lion, and he stands up and he walks around and he begins roaring, and everything that's anywhere near, what do? They start shivering and shaking and they quit thinking, and they will run from him, and which is exactly what he's wanting them to do, because he set a trap for them with all of his lionesses waiting on them to jump on them and kill them. Why does God say, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion? Because he wants to confuse. He wants us to challenge our thinking. He wants us to quit thinking for ourselves. He wants us to quit listening to him. He wants us to be distracted. And in this world, that's what happens. We get distracted with all the things going on. With one goal he has, and that's to destroy us in everything that we are. We are in a war for our lives in this world. But, look again what he says. He, the Lord, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. A limitless supply. How many of you have ever gone to the storeroom, or maybe your pantry, and said, I need some tomato sauce because I'm making some chili. And I got to get the right kind of sauce, right? Because maybe it's diced tomatoes or whatever you use in there, and you reach in to get it, and it says, oh man, he's got Italian herbs. That's not for chili. And I think, man, I got to go to Walmart now. My pantry is empty. I don't have any of it in my pantry. And does that bother you? That irritates me. Because I look in there and I think, I know I had some of this. What did Holly do with it? And then she says, well, I hate it even more because you go to Walmart, you're there for 3 hours. I don't like the storehouse to be empty. I want to walk in my pantry and find what I need. But too many times I used it last week and forgot to go get some more. Or I forgot to put it on the notepad, which is what Holly's always told us. Right, Hayden? If we need it, write it on the pad. And we'll get it. She takes care of us. Anyone knows her, you know she takes care of us, right, Ed? I hate that. And so he says, you picture this storehouse, and he says that he stores up for us. It's never empty. Anytime that we want wisdom in our life, anytime we're looking and we're struggling with something in our life, all we have to do is look in the storehouse of God, and there it is. It's never going to be empty. It'll never go away. There's no drought. There's no starving times in our life when it comes to wisdom, because God says, I've stored it up for you, all of it that you want. Here it is. And he says in verse 7, the second part, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. The Lord is a shield to those of us who want to walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. Now I'm going to get really personal, and I don't mean it to be personal with an individual. It's personal with our country right now. I watch a lady and a man stand on a stage in front of millions of people, holding hands and smiling and celebrating because they passed historic reform to allow women to kill their unborn babies all the way up to the very second they're being delivered. And they were dancing on the stage, celebrating that we can now kill babies longer than we've ever been able to do it before. And then the arrogance of one of them to say, and if you don't agree with us, we don't ever want you in our state again. Don't ever come back to New York. We don't want you here. Justice. Justice, right? That's what those babies got, was justice. And if it's not bad enough, our government just votes again on whether or not we protect the born children, and they vote it down and say no. If a mother wanted to have an abortion and she told her doctor and they tried it and it didn't work and the baby is actually born alive, and then later on that day they go, you know what, I really didn't want the baby, so just go ahead and kill it. They can do that legally. Even though federal law states, if you cause the death of an unborn baby, you can be tried for murder. We have this law, and it applies over here, but it doesn't apply over here. And I just ask, I don't care what side of the fence you're on politically, I couldn't care less, because it doesn't matter. What matters is this: what does God say about it? What a horrific thing we celebrate in this country. How can anyone be justified in making a decision like that? Justice, God guards it. He always has. He's always said what's right and what's wrong, what is good and what is evil, what we need to be a part of and what we should run and flee from. He's never been silent about those things, not ever in our life, and he's not today. And he says, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And so when we start asking, well, what does justice mean in our life? What does justice look like in this world? What kinds of decisions should we make? We better start listening to God. I know this world is gone. Our country has gone a long way away from where it was even 30 years ago. Were we perfect 30 years ago?
No.
Were we perfect 100 years ago? Was God in control then? Yes. Is he in control today? Yes, he is. But if we're not going into the storehouse of God, we have no wisdom. It'll never hold on to us. It'll never be our shield. It'll never be the one guarding our paths in this life. And it preserves, he says, the way of his godly ones. The way never ever changes in this life. Our path never will change. Can you imagine, even for a second, if God was like all those legislators? What would our faith be like? One week we believe this, and the next week we believe that. And if I'm over here and I've got the right colored jacket on, this is the decision. But if I don't, then here's the decision over here. And I'm about walking back and forth trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do. How do you think our children are so confused about things in this world when they don't have any absolutes? A lot of times, and I'm talking about me first, how many times am I not consistent in the things that I teach my own children? And I think, well, the situation is different. No, it's not. Truth doesn't change. God's wisdom doesn't change. And our path doesn't change. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and following the next several verses, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Our path isn't ever going to change. As long as we acknowledge Jesus Christ, as long as we've given our life to him, and as long as we're walking in the light as he is the light, then we have forgiveness. And we have the blessings in this life. Path is not going to change. He's going to protect that. Verses 9 through 12. And we'll close with this. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Wisdom does not only originate with God, it doesn't only protect me, but it also empowers. It empowers me to live a life that is a blessing to myself and to all of those around me. He says practical knowledge, discernment that he talks about. Here's what wisdom gives, discernment. Righteousness, our holiness, we are called to be holy because God is holy. And with his wisdom we can live a righteous life. Not because who we are, but because of who Jesus Christ is. We are not righteous, he is. And he accounts us as righteous when we acknowledge him and we live in him and we're empowered by the wisdom that he gives us. Justice, never to be a political platform. It is founded in God himself and it cannot change. Equity, freedom from bias or favoritism. Every good course, here's God's path for us. Here it is. It empowers us to live this kind of life. For, he says, when wisdom enters our heart, when it changes us, when it's deeply seated in us, what does it do? Knowledge becomes pleasant. Wow. Knowledge becomes pleasant. Discretion begins to guard us. Understanding will watch over us. It will deliver us from evil and from the man who spoke perverse things. The storehouse is full. If only we'll pursue it. It's not going to come up on us accidentally. It's our choice. There's the powerful thing, though, is it's your choice. If you want it, it's yours. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go out and say, I've got to give everything. I've got to give all my money. I've got to get all. All it takes is everything you are. Who are you today? What are you pursuing in your life? What's so important to you that you're willing to give up time and energy and maybe finances and commitments and all of those things to pursue? What is so important that it trumps everything else in your life? Is it a relationship with God? Or is it a relationship with this world? Have you this morning truly given yourself to the pursuit of wisdom? You'll only find it in the Lord Himself. You'll only find protection from it in Him. You'll only be empowered in Jesus Christ. Are you depending upon God's rich storehouse of knowledge and understanding and wisdom? If not, what kind of life will you live? Not the one God created.
Thank you.